I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. It has been a very busy week at my house. I feel like I have been going nonstop. Also, the puppy is getting me up at 4:30 a.m. every day. I'm used to waking up at, like, you know, 6:37. 4:30, though, is a new special kind of exhaustion. I'm also used to it if I'm on set. I mean, I normally get up that early if I'm, you know, on set working. That's just how long it takes. but yeah, it's a lot. So if anybody has any suggestions on how to get a puppy to sleep in, please holler at me. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. Truly. Yeah, that's about it for me this week, guys. I've been so busy, and I'm about to hop on a panel that we're doing tonight with the Looking Ahead program. If you don't know, I am the co-chair of the Los Angeles Young Performers Committee for SAG-AFTRA, and tonight we are doing the first of many panels with Looking Ahead, which is an incredible program for young performers. So if you've never heard of that, you should definitely look into it. But we're doing our first panel tonight, and I'm very excited. I am chugging some Coke Zero to stay awake, but it is going to be great. On that note, today's guest actually is a young performer. Today we have Jaden McKinley. He is the star of the new Disney Channel film, The Curious Case of Dolphin Bay. He's also in the upcoming Children of the Corn film, and we had such a great time talking. So here's my conversation with Jaden. And welcome to the show, Jaden!
Thank you so much for having me. How are you going?
Doing great, doing great. Listeners, Jaden and I have been discussing MySpace before we got on here, because I was telling him about the olden days of social media, and he is blown away by the rating system.
Yes.
good times. I'm very excited to have you on the show today. You have a brand new movie hitting Disney Channel this weekend, which we will get to. But first, I want to talk to you about your journey as an actor thus far. I know you're very young and you have a lot to do yet. But tell me a little bit about, like, what got you into this, especially being, you know, from Australia. It's not like you're from Hollywood. Sure. So what was out there that made you want to become an actor?
Well, I was always into, like, musical theater and things like that. There's home videos of me dancing around the house in my underwear to Cats and things like that.
Cats on all the shows.
Yeah, of course. I've just always been into that, and I was always like reciting lines and monologues from films and things like that. So when I was six, my mum got me into this local theatre school.
Okay.
And so I really started like musical theatre when I was 6 years old. And then I got my first professional role at 8 years old, wow, when I was cast in the Australian tour of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang playing Jeremy Potts.
Fun.
Yeah, that was so fun. That was great. That was in 2013. And that was amazing. That was an experience I will never forget.
How do they do that on stage? I've never seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on stage. So how do they do the car? Yeah.
Oh, it's magic. No, I'll tell you. it's actually really crazy because obviously there's the flying car, right? But then it also like turns into that boat.
Yes.
That was crazy. That was sick. So basically they just have this like these massive like beams. These like mechanical beams, like positioned behind the car. So then when that scene happens, the lights just go off and then it tilts the car forward. So it looks like
we're falling.
Yeah. And then the wings come out the side. That was crazy. That was amazing. That was amazing to like do that for the first time as well, to practice it, because I was actually scared and I nearly fell out my seat because I actually like the seat belt that I was supposed to put on, it was too loose.
Oh no.
So that was a bit scary. But
yeah, a little bit. Sick.
Yeah. So that was great. And then the year after that I did The King and I, also professionally. And then I did The Sound of Music in 2016, playing Friedrich.
Nice. I'm cursed by Sound of Music. I tried to be in it twice when I was a kid. First one I think it was Marta and the second one was Greta. Or opposite, I don't know, I can't remember. But both times they got shut down before we actually had opening night. So I was like, oh, so I'm never going to be in Sound of Music.
That's a shame. And after you've done all the rehearsals and things.
Yeah, we've done all the rehearsals, all the stuff. Damn. And I can't even remember why, but both times they did. And I was like, you know what, there's something with me in Sound of Music. I'm just not going to stay away from it now.
That's a shame.
I know, because it's a great show.
It's a great show. I had a great time doing that.
It's also so fun for kids because it's like there's so many other people your age, which is very rare in theater. You know, there's usually only like one or two children per show. But having
it was awesome hanging out with all the other kids. That was great. And then the adults were like really nice as well. It was a great vibe. I had a good time. So I've done maybe like 30 musicals now. So I'm a bit obsessed.
Wow.
Then I started screen acting when I was nine, when I was cast in my first short film. And then from there, I've been cast in TV commercials and feature films and TV shows and things like that. Yeah.
What's your favorite musical right now?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, what's the one that you put on repeat when you're in the car or like when you're doing something at home?
I love Blood Brothers. Have you seen Blood Brothers?
No.
Oh, that's a great musical. You have to see that. It's about these twin boys who are separated at birth, and then that like they kind of like the mum makes a pact with this other mum that the boys are like never allowed to see each other because otherwise it will like result in death, basically. And it's a really sad story because she couldn't look after both because she was so poor and she already had like six kids.
Oh man!
And it's really full on, but it's so good.
I would love to
be in that one day.
That would be cool. Yeah. So Blood Brothers, what other musical haven't you been in that you would love to be in?
I got to go classic and go Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to be in Phantom of the Opera? When I was a little girl, I was like, I am Christine Daae. My freaking AIM name, which back then it was, you know, AOL Instant Messenger. We didn't have texting. AOL Instant Messenger. My name was Little Lottie 92.
Nice.
Phantom's the best. You could pull off a Phantom. Would you want to be Phantom or Raoul?
I would love to be Phantom.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
One day. When I'm more mature.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. You can Gerard Butler that. I can see it happening.
Oh, thanks.
So, So Musical Man, I love that. And then you recently did Children of the Corn, which
yes,
terrifying. I can't watch any of those iterations because I find it just utterly bone chilling.
Really?
I don't know what it's
pretty scary, especially the original. I actually haven't seen any of the others, but
have you seen the one that you were in?
No, I actually haven't yet.
What?
I've not seen the one I was in yet.
Oh my God.
It's taken 2 years because of the coronavirus. But it's finally coming out fall 2022.
Amazing. Oh, so, goodness. That's exciting. How was it filming that?
That was crazy. That was absolutely mental because this was right in the middle of the lockdown in 2020.
Oh my God.
So we shot for 3 months. It was like March, April, May.
Mm.
And that was crazy because obviously it was shot during that lockdown and they had to make all of these like adjustments to make sure that production could still keep going, you know?
Right.
Like they made the first like safety, like on set protocol manual, like ever.
Oh my God.
And that was used by tons of other productions after that. And they ended up spending like $2 million extra to protect like the cast and crew.
Wow.
Getting like hand sanitizing stations, masks and all that stuff. And obviously making sure that everybody was safe on set and we couldn't actually like go near each other. So that was crazy. And you know, everybody had to fill out this like health survey. but yeah, it was mental. It was amazing. I had an amazing time.
Was that your first, role in something that's like a horror based story?
No. I'm actually in the Netflix film Sweet River. And so I play the creepy kid in that. No. His character's name is Max. And that was the first like big role I've done. So
Do you like working in that genre? Because it is a very specific type of like filmmaking.
Yeah, it's really fun. I think I'm a little bit typecast though because. Mm. I've been in quite a few of them now. I'm like wondering, why is that? Is it because of my eyebrows? No, but it's amazing. Seeing how it all like works, especially in this genre, and like people pulling off like those kind of like jump scares and things like that. But yeah, everybody's so nice. Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
What was the audition process like for Children of the Corn? I mean, your role, I'm assuming, is one of the creepy children. So what was that like?
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny. Obviously, there's a lot of, like, because American casting directors and things like that, they're in LA. So we just send a self-tape over. Mm. So I did the first one and I sent that over, and they came back to us a few weeks later saying that they wanted me to do a callback for it. And so I did another self-tape for that and sent that in. And then I waited quite a bit. I waited like about a month, I think. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's done.
Gone, yeah.
So I did my best. and then a month after that, they came back to us saying they want me to do another callback, which is this, which is like this 3-page monologue. Ooh. And at the same time, I had another audition for a play that I was supposed to be learning. So I had to do this in like 2 days, both of them, Lord. Of course, right? Typical.
Oh, Lord.
And so, yeah, I managed to do that and then send that audition in as well. And then they got me to do another callback and they flew me down. They flew me down to Sydney at like Fox Studios.
Yeah.
To do another callback in person. I love in-person auditions. They're great because I love to like meet everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. I definitely prefer like in-room auditions to self-tapes. Oh, but anyway. Yeah.
The energy is so much different.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, there actually is energy. I mean, come on.
Yeah. yeah, and so I got flown down for that. And then I went into the room and then did the audition that they wanted me to prepare. Mm-hmm. Came out of the audition room. And one of the casting directors came up to me with this 2-page script. And she was like, hey, can you quickly like memorize this or like learn it as best you can to go back in about 10 minutes, right?
Dang.
And so I was like, okay, great. and luckily I have like a pretty good memory, I'd say. So I managed to memorize all that. But before I went in, she comes up to me and she goes, oh, would you be able, instead of doing this scene, would you be able to do the audition scene from your first self-tape?
Oh.
Luckily I remembered it. I don't know how I remembered it, but I remembered it. It's crazy. And then, so I did that. And I think I went pretty well, I think.
I mean.
And so, and then I ended up getting the role. But then we weren't really sure, like, when actually it was supposed to be filming, right? Because obviously then people were hearing about Corona and things like that. We were like, oh, okay, this is going to be a bit crazy, I think, right? This is going to... world is gonna kind of fall apart, right? Surely. Because everything was happening in Wuhan and all that stuff. And so Lucas Foster, the producer, jumps on a call with us and he goes, hey.
Oh, gosh.
So we're filming very soon, and the borders, because at the time the Australian borders, the Queensland borders were going to close in between Australia and New South Wales is where they were filming. And he was like, okay, so we really want you in this movie. If you want to say no, that's completely fine. And he was really nice about it. And he was like, you can just stay there and just make sure that you're safe, or you can drive down to Richmond, which is near Sydney. He said, you can drive down to Richmond tomorrow if you are up for it. And so we were like, yeah, let's drive down.
Let's drive down.
And so we didn't really have time to sort out accommodation and things like that. Like, we weren't even really sure where we were going. And we had to pack up all of our school stuff, and we had to bring our dogs because that was no time, right? We had to leave the next day.
Oh my gosh.
And so we just drove down, not knowing where we were going yet, because he was like, okay, it's fine, you can bring your dogs. We'll just like sort out accommodation. And then eventually they put us up in this really nice cottage.
Wow.
And yeah. And then it was a great time filming. Everybody was really nice. I had an awesome time.
What a wild, yeah, long story short, right? I mean, that's so crazy though. That he was just like, hey, so get your car and drive down here now.
Yep. Yeah. It's sick. It's so fun.
That's so cool. So this weekend you have The Curious Case of Dolphin Bay premiering on Disney Channel. Very exciting. Yes, yes. Tell me a little bit about this, especially going from filming like these horror-based genre films to then being, you know, the cute boy in a Disney Channel movie. What's that like?
No, it's fun. It's fun. I love my character. Basically, I'll just like give a little like plot summary.
Yes.
So basically, four teens participate in this like summer internship for marine biology. And then two characters, Quinn and Daniela, have like a fallout. Mm-hmm. And then my character, Teddy, convinces Quinn to join him on this adventure. Teddy's great. I love the character. He's so fun. And I feel like I could inject a lot of myself into him, like personality-wise. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could really resonate with him because he's like really like determined and dedicated. And I really love how his character kind of progresses and evolves in the film.
Mm.
Because, you know, in the beginning, he can just see like this end goal where he's like, oh yeah, I really want to find this treasure, right?
Yeah.
But then, as the story kind of progresses, the audience can see different sides to his personality, you know? You know, we can see like his showmanship and his vulnerability and things like that. So I had a really awesome time playing him.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you seem like such a fun and like easygoing person. So I'm sure like having to be in these like horror type films is, you know, a little daunting just to carry that with you. Not like daunting is like you can't do it, but like daunting is like it's horror. I mean, what I've found with genre films like that, it's like a lot to carry home almost, you know?
Like, yeah,
you've been through these weird situations at work and now you have to go home and go to sleep like you didn't have blood on your entire body for 12 hours.
Well,
it's
strange.
So I'm
it is actually interesting to think of it like that, where it's like, oh yeah, you just like got all this makeup on, right? Okay, you look really scarred, and all right, now you can go home, have a good night.
I just murdered somebody on film and now I just have to go to sleep like nothing happened. It's cool.
But I love it because both of those sets I've been on for Sweet River and Children of the Corn, they've been like really lighthearted sets and in between
that's
takes,
good.
Like working around and things like that.
No method acting on the set, thank God.
No, yeah, thank God. We don't want 20 freaky children running around with, you know, machetes.
Nobody wants that.
You can snap out of character at any time, okay? Thanks.
You could just stop that. Thank you very much. So this movie, the Curious Case of Dolphin Bay, did you guys film that in Australia as well?
Yes. Yeah, we shot that all around Brisbane and the Gold Coast, around where I'm from. We actually had 3 weeks of filming, which is really short for
very
a feature
short.
Film. And then a week of pre-production as well. So we had... the first week we were just like rehearsing and things like that, discussing characters, going over scenes, because obviously we wouldn't have that much time to do that sort of stuff on set because it's a really tight schedule. I love Christine Luby, the director. She's amazing, because she really allowed us to like be free on set, and she allowed us to kind of experiment and see which way was like the best way to do a take. And she just let us like ad lib and have fun. And so, yeah, I think you can definitely see that lightheartedness in the film. Yeah, it was really awesome.
Somebody once told me whatever works is right when it comes to acting. Like if it feels like it's working, then it's right. Which I think is you know, a good little nugget to keep in the back of your head when you're working, because there are so many, if you're an actor and you're on set, there's so many iterations to one single line. Can mean Definitely. So many different things depending on how you say it. But if it's working and you feel like it's working, then that's the right choice.
Definitely. Just do what's
best for you.
And so
having that, like, having that environment where she allowed you guys to play and figure that out, that's so special, because sometimes you don't get that.
Yeah. And that's really great. And that's, I think you can see a lot of us, like, as people and our real connections, because that's what we formed on set, even in that short period of time, you know, we became like such close friends, not just the cast, but the crew as well. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So on the show, we like to share bad audition stories and audition stories that are funny, or the one that got away, or whatever it is that you wish to share with the audience. But is there one that you would like to tell us today?
Hell yeah. there is. It's actually the audition for The Curious Case of Dolphin Bay.
Okay.
It's a bit crazy, and you probably won't believe it. I still can't really believe that it actually happened, but it did.
Okay, I'm buckled in. Let's do this.
All right. So firstly, I had a 2-day turnaround for two auditions. It was one for a TV show and then one for this. And then I had like this big essay due as well for school. And at the same time, and so I submitted that and then the first audition. And that was fine. And it gave me, I had like the next day to prepare for this one. I woke up the next day and I had this massive pain. And I found out that I needed to go in for an emergency surgery.
Oh my gosh.
And so I contacted my agent. And I was like, this is what's happened. This is the situation. What can we do? You know? And she said it would be fine to like submit the audition the next day, you know? Yeah. So I got an extension for that. And also after the surgery, I convinced the doctors to let me out. So I didn't have to stay overnight so I could prepare for the audition. Right.
You convinced the doctors to let you go home so that you could prepare for an audition.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm fine. I can't even feel a thing. It's great. Okay.
That is commitment. Good, right?
Yeah. So then I woke up the next day when I was supposed to be filming it, right? And my throat was so sore. And it turns out I had like necrosis on my uvula. Because what? It's ridiculous. It's the way like the air tubes were pulled out in the surgery.
Oh my God.
Which doesn't usually happen, but of course it happened to me, right?
Of course.
And so I asked Google, my best friend Google, how long it would take for it to heal, right? And it said 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
helpful. It's great. It's supposed to be in today, right?
2 weeks, so, easy.
Yeah, so I was just laying on my bed and I couldn't move or speak because it hurt too much. But I was like, hey, you know what? Let's just approach it like this, right? If I just get up and do the audition, that's the only thing that I'll have to like do and say, right?
Okay.
So if I just prepare for that, that's it, right? Tape the audition. And what was it? It was like this really energetic monologue. And I also had to dance in it, which was, it really hurt, but you know,
it really hurt.
It was still fun. and so I did it. I did it in an American accent because on the sides it said American.
Okay.
And so I sent it in, and the next day I got an email sent back to me requesting it retaped in an English and an Australian accent. So I was like, oh, okay, no problem, right? So, you know, I taped it again. I was still in pain, but yep. I did it again. It was all right. And then I went to edit it, right? The laptop died. So we had to buy a new laptop, right?
Oh my god, wait, it literally died. Like, it completely just stopped.
Yes, it literally conked out. The screen went black. Of course, right? Like, it just literally conked out. So we had to go out, we had to buy a new laptop, brew it home. We were like, okay, that's it, right? We edited it. We were uploading it to, you know, whatever we uploaded it to. Mm-hmm. And then our internet died. So we couldn't submit the tape. So then finally, after all that trouble, we went to like a McDonald's. We got the free Wi-Fi from McDonald's, and then we managed to upload it from there.
Oh my god.
So that's the story. It's crazy, right?
It's just like everything that could possibly go wrong and be put in your way. It was like, nope. Absolutely
yeah,
not.
Exactly. That's exactly
it's
it.
Like the universe is like testing you. How badly do you want this? How
yeah,
badly
yeah.
do you want to be
what
in this
lengths
movie?
Will you go? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then you booked it though. So the
then
pain
I booked
was
it.
Worth it, I guess.
Yes, definitely.
Holy crap. Well, right. I'm excited to watch this now. I'm gonna put that in the back of my head that when you were auditioning for it, you were
Oh, please don't.
Please don't. Oh god. That's amazing. That's a great story. That's a really good one to take home with you.
It's pretty crazy.
what else do you have coming up? Are you working on anything right now, or do you have anything on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm working on a few things right now. I'll say more about that when I can. I'm also just trying to finish year 12, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I'm having fun.
How is that for you, the balancing of schoolwork with being an actor?
That's a good question. I'm managing it okay, I think. Last year when we were filming Dolphin Bay, I just managed to get like a few extensions for some of my assignments.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't shoot on weekends either, so I managed to just fit in schoolwork then because it was like 14-hour days of shooting, right? So I couldn't really get that much done. But obviously when I had time off and I was just sitting, you know, in the trailer, then I would just get assessments done then, or try to.
Yeah. Bank the hours.
Just try and make time if you can.
Do you have plans? Are you going to try to go to university, or do you think to try and balance that with acting, or are you saying, heck no, I'm on this path?
Right now, my gut is saying just go with it.
Yeah.
I love what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to go to university straight away. I'll definitely just want to get more work experience, and then I can do university down the track if I want to.
Exactly. I mean, that's the kind of cool part of being a human right now, is that you can go to university whenever you want to go to university. I'm in college right now.
Exactly.
I didn't go to college when I was, you know, supposed to go to college because I was on set. I was working too much and I was like, I don't want to
set
up this screen.
Exactly. And that's good. That's great. Like, if you're already doing it, then you don't have to do it straight away, you know?
Right. You can go back anytime you want and get a degree in anything
that's
you
great.
Want. It's easy.
Yeah, it's great. Being outside the square and living, doing you know?
Exactly. Well, I have so enjoyed talking to you. Where can people follow you on social media to keep up with all of the fun things that you are doing?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at Jaden McGinley. That's where I'm most active. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Facebook at Jaden McGinley, and then Twitter, which is Jaden_McGinley. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jaden, for coming on. It was so
thank
fun
you.
Talking to you, and I'm so stoked to see what you do next.
Thank you so much. I had an awesome time.
Thanks again to Jaden for coming on the show and chatting with me this week. Make sure to check out The Curious Case of Dolphin Bay, airing this Saturday, June 11th at 8 p.m. on the Disney Channel. I used to love the Disney Channel so much as a kid. DCOMs were the best things in the world. So tune in. And if you're listening to this after June 11th, well, then you missed the premiere, but you better go find it because I bet it's really cute and I'm excited to watch it. Follow the show on social media and hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to it right now. Give us some love. Give us some stars, some reviews, some, you know, whatever. Hit me up on social media.
let's chat. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.